Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills have wrapped up their practice indoors in the Ed Pro Sports Training Center, getting ready to host the AFC's top team, the 10-2 Baltimore Ravens, winners of eight in a row. The Bills have won three in a row. Ravens are the number one rushing attack in the NFL. They average 208 yards on the ground per game. No team in the NFL has ended a year averaging more than 200 yards since the creation of the 16-game regular season schedule. Ravens averaged 5.6 yards per rushing attempt, and at that pace, they'd finish second all-time to the 1963 Cleveland Browns in average yards per rush. On the injury front, offensive lineman Ty Insecki said to be making progress with his injured knee. No post-practice report out yet. Referee Sunday is Sean Smith. He did the Bills games in week two against the Giants. The weather, mostly cloudy skies, a high 43. Winds are going to be 10 to 20 miles per hour. We've got the call of the game on our flagship radio station, WGR Sports Radio 550. I'll be in the booth with Eric Wood, Sal Capaccio on the sidelines this Sunday. The Ravens have signed fullback defensive tackle Patrick Ricard to a two-year extension, one of the NFL's most versatile players, undrafted out of Maine. They call him Project Pat. He plays both sides of the ball, fullback and defensive lineman, and he gets a two-year extension late yesterday. Ron Rivera fired yesterday as head coach of the Carolina Panthers. New owner David Tepper made the announcement today. Rivera today held a news conference, says he has no plans to walk away from the game he's been a part of as a player and coach for 33 years. He wants to coach again. Meantime, Panthers quarterback Cam Newton will undergo surgery for the left foot injury that led to him be ruled out for the rest of the season. Newton plans to have the surgery now. It originally suffered the foot injury in the third preseason game, aggravated it in week two against Tampa Bay. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin says he's staying with Devlin Duck Hodges as his quarterback. He'll start this weekend with their matchup in Arizona. The Sabres hit the road this week. They'll face the Calgary Flames tomorrow night, 9 o'clock faceoff out west. Evan Rodriguez back at practice yesterday, scheduled to be ready to get back in the lineup very soon. And that's the update from One Bills Live. Ron Rivera met the media this morning, at the day after he was let go, and a couple comments about being dismissed and his plans for the future. Panthers head coach Ron Rivera, here he is. Here's what he said today.
Money's hard in the NFL, and not to be taken lightly. I'm proud that I took over a 2-14 team and won back-to-back-to-back NFC division titles, South division titles. I want to reemphasize, I'm proud that I took over a 2-14 team and won back-to-back-to-back. See the emphasis? Won. Three in a row, okay? Whether you define it by wins or losses or you define it by winning the division, to me, that's 3 years in a row of consecutive winning, okay? So I want to make sure we're straight on that. I get tired of hearing, oh, they couldn't win 3 years in a row, 2 years in a row. No, we won 3 years in a row, so let's get that straight. And we were the first team in the NFC South to do it, so I'm pretty doggone proud of that, okay? I'm proud to have been part of the 2015 NFC Championship team that represented the NFC in Super Bowl 50, and I'm proud to leave here the winningest Panthers head coach.
Sounds proud. He should be proud. He did a good job down there. I got to say this, Steve. He's been a good friend to this show, and I like the guy. I've met him a couple times. Like him a lot. 9 years there. I guess I understand why they do what they do. But he had a good thing going on in there, and as he pointed out, they won pretty consistently down there with him. Not this year, but he's been a good friend to the show. You know, we had basically the pipeline from Carolina to Buffalo the last couple of years, especially 2 years ago. And whenever we asked, and it's two or three times, hey, can we get Coach Rivera on the show? He would do it. That's how I like him for that and for the way he's conducted himself. He's a pretty good coach.
And subsequent interviews to that. Now, that certainly was an answer to the fact that he got fired midseason when he lost an MVP quarterback and when Cam Newton couldn't play. This is a guy who, in subsequent interviews after this, if you've looked around, what an outstanding guy he is. All the guys that played for him, guys who coached with him, including our own Sean McDermott, who was asked about him today, was a great mentor, and he cared about his players off the field and on the field. He cared about his men, developing them, making their lives better. He acknowledged in one of the interviews I saw that, listen, these guys are here for 3.3 years on average. That's just a snippet of their life. We got to make them better when they get out of this game than when they came in. And that kind of attitude is a great service to the men who play this game and who try to play it for a long time, who sometimes aren't able to. So having a guy like Coach Ron Rivera, the Panthers can do what they want, obviously. But the league is better when guys like Ron Rivera are in it than when they're not. So I'm with you, Murph. I got nothing but respect for the guy. It's hard to win in this league, and he did a pretty good job of it in Carolina.
Yep. It's hard to see that end. Hey, let's talk about the Bills and talk about the Bills and the Ravens. And our Twitter question today deals with that topic, in particular deals with Lamar Jackson. Simple question: what's the key for the Bills and defending Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson? Love to hear from you on the phone lines, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. Let's do that now. The tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official movers of the Buffalo Bills. The key to defending Lamar Jackson from Max: still not completely convincing he can beat you solely with his arm, especially if you have the secondary that the Bills have and you can trust your one-on-ones for man coverage. I'd be dialing up man coverage all game with a loaded box, focusing on outside and edge containment. I like the way you're thinking there, Max, and to a certain extent. Load the box. Make him beat you with his arm. I think, to me, that might be the key here, Steven. And by the way, he might beat you with his arm. He's that talented. He's thrown it that well this year. But I think that's the best bet you have. Load the box, stop the run, make sure you contain him in the pocket, don't let him get outside, and make him beat you with his arm. Make him play quarterback.
Well, if you look at the way the defense is constructed for the Buffalo Bills, they got a really good secondary.
Yeah.
Tre'Davious White's a top elite corner in the league. You got two of the best safety tandem, we think, maybe in the NFL, certainly one of the best in the conference. They're tough to get a handle on. They do a really nice job in the back end of the Bills' defense, and I think this may be a game where they really lean on those guys heavy. Cover these players up and see if Lamar can beat you with pinpoint throws and a lot of pressure. Now, having said that, they may do that a lot, but they won't do it exclusively, because as soon as you do something exclusively, you start to become predictable and the Ravens will make you pay dearly for it. You got to do some of it, but there's also got to be something else in your arsenal as well. But I do think this: the Bills do have the ability to lean on their secondary, and whatever that looks like up front, you can expect that to happen at certain times.
I feel like Micah Hyde has a huge role to play in this game. You know, big, tough defense. What are you laughing about?
No, go ahead.
He can walk. They'll walk him into the box, and he'll, you know, people say put a spy on him. I don't know if Micah Hyde is the spy. I don't know if a spy is the answer. But a big, tough defensive back who can run pretty well and can tackle pretty well, that sounds like Micah Hyde's job for me.
I think you almost, wouldn't you maybe want to line up in a formation, defensive formation that almost invites the Ravens to throw it?
Yeah.
And then see if your secondary, see if you can either get out of it or stem out of it late, or maybe play it and see if they can beat you with that look. Because they can certainly run the ball. They're averaging over 200 yards a game. Wouldn't it be nice if they had like 50, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would have forced them
cut to – cut it in half, even. That would be,
yeah, that would force them to beat you left-handed, right, which is kind of what you're after. So, you know, sell out to do that and then see what they can do with the rest of it, you know, and see if that happens. Now, I don't know. Like I said, there's no one answer to doing it because you've got to do it with your personnel and and against their personnel, and their matchups may dictate you do certain things at certain times. But man, oh man, that's, you got to do something. You got to have a real plan about a place to start. And I think leaning on your secondary for this team is a good place for that.
Ravens seem to be very well coached, obviously, and very multiple. They'll do it a lot on offense. You can see it when you watch their games. Lamar Jackson spends a lot of time before the snap. He doesn't just have a wristband with plays. He's got almost a folder of plays on his wrist, and he sorts through. You can see him flipping pages. That's how multiple they are. That's a lot to ask. And our next caller here, Gene in Fredonia, wants to bring up something that may play into this as well. Gene, are you there still? You've been waiting a while. You still there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Go ahead and make your point, Gene. What do you think?
Well, here's my thing. I've been a season ticket holder for over 30 years. Kind of had things handed my way back in the day when Stevie was playing and the guys. And I just want the fans to show up. And I mean, they're always there and stuff, but do their part. I think way back then we actually made a big difference, as we do in most games, you know. But this game in particular, I think it's a chance for us to show what we're all about. You know,
I agree with you, Gene, and that goes to what I was just saying. When you think of the noise that can be generated here and the disruption it might cause with Greg Roman upstairs calling the plays down to Lamar Jackson, and he's sorting through all the literally small plastic pages on his wrist of different plays. If you can distract him, make enough noise that maybe he can't hear the call, maybe he can't find the right page, I think that could have a role to play. I really do. The noise that could be generated here. You look at me like I'm crazy.
No, I'm not crazy. not at all. I'm with you totally. I do think it is a chance. A game like this, it is a chance for fans to flex. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we talk a lot about how good the Bills fans are, and it's true. We've seen it time and time again. We've got, you know, we got nicknames. Fans have, the Bills Mafia and the new era field and the way this atmosphere, the college atmosphere that players talk about when they come into this town and this stadium, the atmosphere getting through the parking lot, the tailgating, all the stuff that goes on. Yeah, they get talked about a lot, and for good reason. The Bills fans are showing up on road games now, more so than I've seen them in the last 20, 25 years. They're getting a reputation, and if you want to extend a reputation as a fan base, this is a game to do it. And against a really good team, late in the season, when your team's really good, in a big game and an important game, and for the first time in 23 years maybe, Murph, a game that has implications for home field playoff games. That's big. So if you want to continue, if the franchise and the fans want to continue that reputation and the growth of it, this is a game you need to come in and flex.
Yeah.
You need to come in and show up big. And I have no doubt it's going to be loud.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that they will. But, that's caller Gene brings up a great point. If you want to help, show up and help. There's a spot for you.
Do your job.
Right?
Lou on Grand Island joins us. Hello, Lou. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay.
What a game we got coming on Sunday.
Yep.
I'd like to see the Bills key on Lamar. Don't buy that fake he's always trying to sell. Seems like you give him that half-step advantage and you're done.
Easier said than done, I would guess, Lou. And Steve can talk more about this, but don't buy that fake. Well, he's so quick for a big man. See, 6'2", 212. He runs like he's 5'10", 185. I mean, he's so quick. And that jab step, that fake that he has, that little hip shake that he has, I don't know how you ignore that if you're trying to bring him down. What do you do?
Yeah, he's a great athlete, and he's going to be hard to tackle. But I agree. If they're going to do that read option stuff, you got to make the choices for him and be ready for the choice you give them. Because they'll take it, and then they'll still make positive yards. That's the problem. But go ahead.
No, he's gone.
Lou. Okay, Lou.
One more
Thanks.
Call here. We'll go to Ken in Springville. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I'd like to say it's a pleasure to talk to both of you and Steve. I hope you're getting fitted for a gold jacket.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
First of all, I'd like to give a hats off to the strength and conditioning coaches of the Buffalo Bills. If we look at the years in the past, we've always had a lot of injuries in the month of October, November. I think they've done a fairly good job. And also, I'd like to think your thoughts on the blueprint that San Francisco left for us. I think the way the linebackers played Lamar, I think our linebackers have more speed and our defense has more speed, and I think we'll be able to contain him.
Yeah, no question. The San Francisco 49ers had some success because, and I was looking at this earlier, this Baltimore Ravens team who, they've won 8 in a row. And let me just give you real quick here the point level, the points they've scored. They in the last – all right, let's just start from week 6. 23, 30, 37, 49, 41, 45. 30, 37, 49, 41, 45. They're scoring lights out. And then they get to San Francisco, they scored 20. It was their lowest output of the season. And – you got to ask yourself, what was San Francisco able to do that nobody else was able to do? And can you do it better? Can you copy it and do it better? It's a good question because it's the lowest points out total. But And I don't know if it's all of the San Francisco defense or the fact that they were playing in 30-mile-an-hour winds in a driving rainstorm, too. So there's that there as well. So you got to put that in the mix. Certainly San Francisco had some success, but it was a driving rainstorm with 30-mile-an-hour winds. So that was a rough day.
Going to be a good day here, 43 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. The wind, not too much of a factor. Bills and Ravens coming up on Sunday. Josh Allen against Lamar Jackson, both of whom drafted in the first round in the 2018 draft. Josh Allen met with the media after practice a few moments ago, and that's how they started. Josh was asked, have you ever think about how far you've come since the pre-draft evaluations of both you and Lamar Jackson? Here's what the Bills quarterback said.
Obviously, I remember the home opener last year, and we got our butts whooped that game, and I remember the rain coming down and it being a pretty messy game, but I remember watching Lamar go out there a few times and make some plays, and it's just kind of surreal to now be in the position that I'm in, and you know, I feel night and day from as far as football perspective, knowledge of the game, knowledge of my own offense, but that was one of those moments I got to learn from. It was really cool.
How good is Zeke for you as a quarterback, obviously, but when you see him, what he's doing and executing that offense, what are you impressed?
I mean, it's hard to describe. It's fun to watch. It's very hard to describe what they do on offense. They run the ball so effectively. Lamar is a passer. I mean, can make every throw. I mean, it's tough to stop. And you know, I'm gonna hate watching it from our sideline, but it's fun to watch from an outside perspective for sure, because they can do so many different things. But at the same time, like our offensive side has to focus on ourselves and what their defense does and how we're playing them, how we go out there and execute, and trust that our defense is gonna go out there and play a heck of a game.
Josh, you mentioned feeling like night and day, going back to last year's season opener. You know, when you look at how much has changed here, particularly offensively for you, does it feel like even like a longer time ago than it really was when you think back to that game?
Probably. You know, as far as what we're doing on offense, who we have on offense, I mean, we have maybe two guys, myself included, that were on that offense that played in that game last year. So I know not many people really know what happened last year or how that might affect how they feel, but you know, we're focusing on going 1-0 this week, and it's no small task with the team that we're going to play.
Can you just elaborate a little bit on what you said earlier about just feeling so much more ready now, and just how far you've come in this offense and in your career to this point from where you were that day?
Yeah, you know, I definitely know that I'm not anywhere where I want to be, but as far as, you know, getting my routine down, having a year of experience under my belt, seeing certain defenses, having the rapport that I do with Coach Dable, kind of taking a leadership role for this team, I think those are some of the differences that kind of separate this year from last year. And, you know, and then you look in our locker room, the guys that we have in here, you know, we got a bunch of really, really great dudes that I wouldn't trade for anybody.
Losing that answer, Josh, like the last three games, what has clicked for you and maybe the offense?
I think we're just going out there. We know our jobs. We know what we need to execute. We're doing a good job of going out there and getting it done. Our five guys up front are blocking extremely well. Our guys are making some plays. We're running the ball very effectively. And that's really what it comes down to, is execution and making smart decisions on my end. And you know, I definitely believe that the quarterback's job is to help move the ball and score points when needed. And we've been doing a good job with that. But it takes 11 guys. And like I said, this defense that we're playing, they're extremely good. They're extremely fast. They're very tough. They do a lot of different things that we've got to be prepared for. And then even in the in-game situations where if they bring something, we got to be ready and stick to our rules and understand what they're going to try to do defensively. But it's going to be a four-quarter fight for sure.
What do you think about Blur? Was that? That just, if you can even recall, you getting tapped on the shoulder perhaps and saying, you're in. You're in, Rook.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like so long ago, and I really – can't describe it. Obviously, it was my first NFL game of real season, real game action. You know, we were down a lot, but I still remember going out there and just trying to make plays for my team. And really, nothing's really changed in that aspect.
What do you think about the amount of heat they bring, and how much is that going to challenge your protections?
No, I mean, it's going to be a mind game for sure. You know, making sure that I give the right mic points, that our O-line knows who to go to, what type of calls we're giving. If I don't make it right with the protection, I got to understand where my answers are and how they mask that up in the back end, and how they try to kind of trick you to do some things. So, you know, it's going to be a very mentally and physically exhausting game with these guys because, like I said, they're playing lights out right now, and you know, they're coming into our house, and they're going to come in here and try to take what we want. And you know, we got to, like I said, we got to go do a good job of executing.
Josh, when you look at their secondary, what do you think is the greatest challenge? Looking at their
they're a very veteran-heavy group. You know, a guy like Earl Thomas, who plays fantastic, tries to bait you into doing a lot of different things, and he's very smart when he's back there, how he kind of tricks you to do some things. You know, the guy that they traded for recently, Peters, and he's playing lights out. Jimmy Smith, a bigger guy that, you know, can lock on to you. And like I said, they're veterans in the back end, and they're all playing on the same page right now. And when you got guys doing that, if you look at our side, we got some older guys that know what to do and how to trick guys into doing things. So they're playing really well. They're meshing well together. And it comes down to me making some good decisions.
You mentioned seeing defenses is the thing that has really changed since you first started. What? You're asked to do a lot when it comes to calling out protections and everything. What was the most difficult part of learning that part of the game?
I mean, going back to last year, I think the most difficult part was learning protections and then still trying to understand the concepts that were masked with it and understanding where your answers were if you messed up. And I think this year, especially in the offseason, bringing in Coach Dorsey and having you know, Matt in the room and what Coach Dable has taught us, you know, I think that's where it's kind of night and day for me as far as knowing where my answers are if I'm not right in the protection end.
There you go, Josh Allen. I wish we could hear the questions better. They got a parabolic microphone out there. I don't know. Is it worth doing that if you can't? Could you understand any questions, Steve, is what I'm asking?
It almost hurts my ears to try. But yeah. I'm with you. Yeah.
A lot of reference to the opener in the 2018 season, right? The Bills 47-3 loss in Baltimore in that terrible rainstorm, a terrible start to the 2018 season for the Bills. It took them a while to recover from that game. Yeah. But they both played in that game, right? In relief, Josh came in for Peterman and Lamar Jackson came in for Joe Flacco. They both played. This is the first time they've gone up against each other as starters anyway. And I'm looking it up here. Quick question, top of your head. Who started more NFL games so far, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen? I know the answer.
Probably Josh.
Yeah. This will be Josh's 24th start. This will be Lamar Jackson's 20th start.
Yeah.
Lamar finished up 7 starts last year, just taking over for Flacco after the second half of the season, and then he's got all 12 this year. And for Josh, he had 11 last year and 12 so far this year, his 24th start. I don't know what the point is there, other than the fact that these are guys very early in their career still.
Right.
And hopefully they get to go against each other a little bit more. We've seen Josh against Darnold. We saw Josh against Baker Mayfield a month or so ago in Cleveland. We have yet to see Josh against the other Josh. And, you know, 5 quarterbacks drafted in the first round of 2018, we know that that's going to be a thing. And this is a thing now. And if these two teams continue, this is long view here, maybe these are 2 of the best teams in the conference for a while, and we get to see this matchup more than just this week. Maybe every year in the playoffs for a while. That'd be kind of
fun. Yeah, it might be. And it's both these guys are setting up to be in their spot for a while.
Yeah.
Certainly neither one of them has done anything to even cause people to doubt it at this point. I mean, they're both getting better, and Lamar's gotten better so fast, and the entire team built around his skill set has proven to be, you know, a freight train that nobody can stop at the present moment. So it is something fun to think about. And you go down the league, you got Mahomes in his third year, that whole draft class from last year, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and then these two, Josh and Lamar, those guys are all in the league. You got some other young quarterbacks. Russell Wilson is still, he's just 7 or 8 years into his career, right?
I mean, he's an old man.
Yeah, right? So, you know, Goff out in Arizona, or no, Goff in L.A., and Kyler Murray in Arizona. There's a lot of guys out there that this generation is going to, like, Russell Wilson's kind of the bridge from the from the old guys back in that day. And Aaron Rodgers still hanging around, you know. Right. He's the old guy. He's long in the tooth. Ben Roethlisberger's long in the tooth. Phillip Rivers long in the tooth. Eli Manning, we've seen him go away this year. So it's starting to take a new generation starting to take over. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of cool to have them both, two of the better ones here this Sunday. We're going to talk more about this game. Want to hear from you. What's your key to defending against Lamar Jackson? Give us a call to discuss, 803-0550. Toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. coming to you live from the Seneca Studio. Seneca Resorts and Casino, nothing comes close. Welcome back to the show. Nice quiet day here at Lundville's Live.
We were just... Well, you started it. You chimed in and then like you stirred it and then left it sitting on the stove.
I asked a question. Is it worth doing the Josh Allen news conference?
You can't hear the questions.
That's right.
And I said, well, and you took parable. It to and they were
11.
Like,
well, you
they kept
it up
throwing
to 11.
These stuff. I don't care. What, get a microphone that works. And get
who are you
somebody,
talking to? Our listeners?
The listeners.
Anybody have a microphone?
Let us hear what they're asking him. And it's like he's talking to himself. You know, it's like, what's he talking about? I don't get it. What? Who's he? He didn't use a noun or a verb there. I don't know. Who's he? He didn't use a name. You know, because the question is about a guy, and we don't know who Josh is talking about. It happens all the time. Fix that.
You talking to me? I don't know how to fix that.
Yes. Wield your power as voice of the Bills.
Oh, yes. Yes.
As voice of the Bills. There's got to be some sort of microphone or something that you could get that would allow us to hear the question.
Can I take calls or do you want to scream some more?
Am I screaming?
You were.
Let me tone it down. I was screaming in there.
John in Rochester on the line. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hey, Steve. Steve, this is going back to earlier in the day when you basically said something about monitoring the options that Jackson's going to have back there.
Right.
My question is this. For a couple weeks ago, Coach McDermott said play aggressive, play smart, you know, fearless type of football out there.
Right.
How do you prevent the aggressiveness that you get from Shaq Lawson and Jerry Hughes on the corners or on the edge from crashing down in and then just seeing, you know, Jackson go around them? I'm concerned about that. And if he does get around the edge and if Shaq and Hughes are playing aggressively, do you have who comes down from the backfield to help push it towards the center where all the pursuit is so that Jackson's not running 20 yards, 30 yards down the sideline? That's my question. My concern is that if we don't set the edge and if we don't push him back into the pursuit, it could be a long day.
Yeah, here's the thing. You're right. It's a tough balancing act. But here's my point about what I said earlier. We've all seen Lamar Jackson. He takes the snap. He steps back, and Mark Ingram comes by him, and he puts the ball into Mark Ingram's stomach way back behind him, and then he holds it in his stomach until Mark Ingram has taken maybe two full steps. So he's got it there for a minute. In the meantime, his eyes aren't looking at Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson's eyes. His eyes are looking at the end man on the line of scrimmage. If the end man on the line of scrimmage goes with Mark Ingram, then Lamar just pulls the ball out of Ingram's stomach and goes around the guy. Conversely, if the guy on the line of scrimmage comes at Lamar, he hands the ball to Mark Ingram, and the running back has it. My point was that if you get into a situation like that, I would rather have Mark Ingram running into the middle of our defense than Lamar Jackson running out to the edge of it. So my thought is that end guy on the line of scrimmage should crash in, and if Lamar Jackson sees him coming and leaves the ball in Mark Ingram's stomach and Ingram goes into the line, Lamar Jackson, by carrying out a play fake, gets hit and knocked down hard. So every time he run that play and he makes that decision, he knows whether he keeps it or not, that mesh point is going to get hit by a defender and hit hard, and Lamar Jackson's going to be the guy getting hit. So he'll hand it off every time because that's his job. The defender's tackling him. And so at least you know that Mark Ingram's going to be the ball carrier on all of those plays. And I think if Mark Ingram beats you or if he beats you doing that, running into the middle of the line, I think that's a better way to go. I think it's harder to beat you that way than have Lamar Jackson with the ball in his hands out in open space.
Got a call from Steve in Jamestown with, a question on the same issue. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hello. What I was wondering was, you know, everybody who plays against them, they need to get to the line, the defense, and they rush right in there. Well, what about making the offense commit? If the defense is back for just 1 second and didn't rush on in there, let the offense commit to either pass or run, then A, you would have a leg up on them because you already know what they're going to do, and the secondary can act accordingly.
It's kind of what we talked about, that a little bit of containment is in order here, right, Steve?
Well, yeah, I mean, pursuit, certainly you got to be disciplined, but here's the thing. As soon as you don't commit, you're on your heels. I mean, you're going to have five of their offensive linemen, two of their tight ends, all of them weighing, 270 pounds plus. They're firing off the ball, and as soon as you stand up to watch and see kind of what's going to happen back there, you're getting knocked 5 yards off the ball. You got to be disciplined and one of our guests, and I think it might have been Jeremy Fowler, said you just can't run past the quarterback.
Yeah.
You can't get deeper than the quarterback. And I think that kind of speaks to a little bit of what you're talking about. You can't run past guys who may or may not have the ball. You got to keep them in front of you as a defensive rusher. And I think penetration is a huge key for this game, but you also can't penetrate to the point where you're running past the backfield mesh point and the running back and the quarterback, and the play ends up happening behind you.
Thanks for your call. Hey, let's get to True and False, NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy. For example, is home hosting a playoff game, and the Buffalo Bills might have more wins than, for instance, the Cowboys, who they beat and have to play on the road. The NFL's current playoff system is unfair and needs to be scrapped. I'm going to go false on this. It's not totally fair, but don't scrap it. It works, and I get it, and it puts a premium on winning your division, and there should be a premium place there. So I go false. Don't scrap it.
I don't know. I would say scrap it, no, but change it, maybe.
Ow.
I mean, if use it to get into the playoffs and then reseed once the playoffs are set, and use multiple tiebreakers to get that set from 1 to 6 and then play the tournament.
Then you lose the incentive on winning your division.
No, your division would still get you in, even if it's a losing record, which may happen in the NFC East
right. This
year.
But winning your division, there have been times
that's
when,
what I'm saying, winning your division get you in, but it wouldn't get you more than you deserve.
Well, maybe you deserve a home game. Look, there have been times.
If you deserve one, you get one.
There have been times when a division is so good and so competitive that the winner comes up with 9 wins. And if you win a great, and it's not the NFC East this year, I understand that. But if you win your division, you got 9 wins because you guys have been beating each other over the head in your division all season long, then you deserve a home game, I think. I like the fact that division winners at the end of it get the home games, get the benefit of the doubt for home games.
Well, here's the thing, I get it, but I would much rather look at the total package, whether you're playing all these teams all over the league, not just your division teams. And I get it, too. There's a couple of divisions, like the NFC West this year with the Niners, the Rams, and the Seahawks. That's a tough division out there. We've seen the AFC North be that over the years with Pittsburgh and Baltimore and maybe thrown in once in a while Cleveland. But I think if you win the division, fine, you should get in the playoffs. But once you get in the playoffs, there should be a mechanism for reseeding the teams and saying, listen, here's how it would set up if you do get in. So that means the wild card teams, for instance, if the Bills could go 13-3, and not get a home playoff game. And I think they would deserve one this year if they did that.
Well, and maybe even more,
not 13-3.
Out west, the NFC West, you're right. Seattle, the Rams could have a really good record and have to play on the road in a wild card game.
Yeah, see, I think that's unfair.
I wouldn't touch it. I think the system works. Might be
unfair.
Oh,
it works. It works good, I think. But it could be better.
Part two, NFL True or False. Ron Rivera will be a head coach in the NFL next year. Said today he wants to be. Will he be a head coach in the NFL next year? Ron Rivera is 57 years. He'll be 58 years old in January. That's pretty good. I say yes. He wants to be a head coach. He's 58 years old. He has a 9-year record of mostly success in Carolina. Yes, true. He will be a head coach next year. It's going to be the normal, 5-6 openings. Why not Ron Rivera? You can do a lot worse than Ron Rivera.
I think so, too. I think in this day and age, you want guys who have some experience, and I think he would probably fit some of the spots that may be open. You talk about the Giants, maybe Atlanta. He'd be moving over in the same division. We saw that happen with Adam Gase this year, although it didn't go. It's not going very well right there. Cleveland is an opportunity for a guy with maybe some experience, and it would be that might be the place for him, Murph, because that team, they got a guy who's never been a coordinator at the NFL level before he did it last year, and now he's the head coach.
Yeah.
Freddie Kitchens just a little too inexperienced. Maybe they'll swing back to a guy who's got a bunch of years of experience as a head coach.
As a head coach.
Yeah, maybe, and I think Rivera would be a guy like that.
I think that's important, too, not just hire the hot young coordinator, whether it's in Kitchens barely was a coordinator, or Adam Gase, who that's how he got his job. Hire a guy who's done this job. He's been a head coach. He's had success taking teams to the Super Bowl. Sure, he belongs in the league. Last one, Drew Lock. Rookie quarterback, Denver Broncos, will continue his impressive play against the Texans. True, false? I say false. You know why? He's not that good. Drew Lock is not that good. And I formed this impression watching him at the Senior Bowl 8-9 months ago now. Didn't think he was that good there and still don't think he's very good. And if he has a decent game or two, that'll be par for the course. But Texans are a pretty good team in a playoff hunt. No, Drew Lock is not good.
Yeah, he's not going to – I don't think he can beat the Houston Texans. Yeah, he may play well. He may play okay, but he's not going to duplicate that win that he had this last week. No, I think it's false, too. I think he's going to struggle like every young quarterback does.
There you go. There you go. It is NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Steve and I coming back with more in a moment. One Bills Live. Steve, you got more yelling to do, apparently, in during the break.
No, I'm good.
Are you out?
I got it out of my system.
Got it out?
Felt good, too.
For you.
Way, it did.
The rest of us, our ears are bleeding.
They were in there. They're
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. What do we learn from today's show? Brought to you by Skyworks, the official, and I mean official, construction rental company of the Buffalo Bills. Really good show today. Really good show today. Well, among our guests, Jeremy Fowler from ESPN in town covering the Bills. His stuff, his reports will be up on ESPN later today. We asked him the question we've been talking about all day long here. What's the plan to defend against Lamar Jackson? Here's what Jeremy Fowler said.
Yeah, the plan is to, really just have all 11 guys take your one assignment and don't try to be a hero. I think that's really their thing.
That's kind of boring.
That they're stressing. It's very boring, but I think that's what they expect and that's what they hope for, because they know they can't they're not going to win one-on-one in the open field with Lamar Jackson, so the key is to not get him in the open field.
Right.
Keep him in the pocket. And look, they're betting on their guy, right? Sean McDermott just said in the press conference that Lamar Jackson was a fantastic prospect in the draft when they scouted him, and he's a fantastic player now. They wanted Josh Allen. That was their guy. So, six touchdowns, one interception in the last three games. So they feel the time is right for him to make some, even more of a statement.
Good point by Jeremy Fowler. Takes us right into part two of What Have We Learned, and that's Field Yates. ESPN's Field Yates joined us, and he said, you got a great running quarterback coming in here, Lamar Jackson, but don't discount the other guy, Buffalo's Josh Allen. He can run with the football also. Here's what he said.
No quarterbacks have ever had more combined rushing yards entering a game than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Now, some on Twitter were fast to point out that 900 plus of those yards come from Lamar Jackson, which is more emblematic of Twitter than is anything else. If you don't think that Josh Allen is a legitimate running threat, it's because you haven't bothered watching Buffalo football this year, which means, honestly, you're missing out on high-quality play, not just from the defense, but also from Josh, who has really made some significant strides that I'm sure has been all the talk of the town over the past 6 days since that win down there in Dallas.
Yeah, it has been, right? The Bills have been since that game.
Yeah.
Talk of the town for sure. All right, so we got a show tomorrow. You had a good show today. We'll have to come up with something else to talk about on Twitter. Look, we all got ideas what they can do against Lamar Jackson. I don't think anybody has the clue, and it doesn't really matter as long as Leslie Frazier has an idea. I think he does.
Yeah, that's going to be it. And they've got to have philosophy, and they got to sell it to their players, and their players got to know that they got to buy in and execute it. They're certainly talented enough, this defense of Buffalo, to get anything done that Leslie Frazier can dream up, but it's going to come down to discipline. This Raven offense and its run game is so difficult to defend because there's so much of it. Certain things look like other things, and this looks like that, but it's not. And if you sell out too much to stop anything, it's not that play. It goes a long way the other way. If you sell out to stop one play that you think's coming, there's a good possibility it's not the right one. So you got to really be disciplined. And in being disciplined, it means there's going to be less gang tackling, less pursuit to the ball. You're going to have guys lagging behind because they got to make sure the other guy didn't have the ball. So you're going to have a lot of one-on-one matchups that players have to tackle in space by themselves. And if you can get that done, that's what makes a great defense. And that's what the Bills are going to have to play like this week.
I think the Bills are really going to have to be physical, and they have to match the physicality that the Ravens bring to the game and fight through blocks from those great blocking tight ends and the 300-pound fullback. That, to me, is one of the keys. There's no one key, one of the keys. What a show we have tomorrow, Steve. I can't even read this. Chris Brown's going to be with us from the Bills practice field tomorrow. Thurman Thomas, Hall of Famer, is going to be joining us. He hasn't been on the show for a couple weeks. Mitch Morse joins us tomorrow after practice, Bills Center. How about this one? Doug Flutie. You know him?
I've heard of him.
Going to be on the show with us tomorrow. He's coming back to be a legend of the game. We'll talk with Doug Flutie on the show tomorrow. Talk about the Ravens with Dennis Pitta, former Ravens tight end, now one of the radio analysts. And we're going to talk about that pregame ceremony with the St. Bonaventure's 1970 Final Four team with the athletic director from St. Bonaventure. All of that coming up on the show tomorrow. Are you going to be ready for all this?
I think so. I'm going to have to get some extra sleep, need some vegetables. But I'll be ready.
Make sure you're ready.
I'll be ready.
We start at 12 noon tomorrow, and looking forward to that. Doug Flutie coming back to be legend of the game.
Yeah. He,
popular choice for fans, right?
Yeah, he was huge here for a minute,
yeah.
Right? And they're bringing back Flutie Flakes as well. You're going to be able to get boxes of those. I don't think the cereal's in production yet, but certainly they can get the flat boxes that people like to collect. He's going to be signing those. I think he's probably going to be around all day doing stuff pregame, postgame,
yeah.
All of that.
And Doug Flutie will join us tomorrow to kind of fill in the blanks for his plan. He just got done his season with Notre Dame football, too, so we can talk about that with Flutie on the show with us tomorrow. I think he's been on once before, maybe, but he'll be with us tomorrow afternoon as well. So that's tomorrow's show. We had a good one today. We thank you for participating. Our production assistants today, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Roble, our producer, Jay Harris, going right to work when this show is over, working on the parabolic mic for next week's Josh Allen's news conference. Because if he doesn't,
that.
Steve is going to strangle.
They're not going to fix it.
It's pretty ugly.
They will
pretty
not
ugly.
Fix that.
Can we get an HR person down here right away, please?
All right.
All right, I've gone too far. See you tomorrow on the show. We start at 12 noon, One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from the Seneca Studio in Orchard Park. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.